before we get going here, you guys know I love Doghouse Systems, all right? You know it. You know that we love them. Oh, man, what a difference it made for my gaming world. I mean, PC gaming is a thing for me. It always has been a thing for me, but man, is it a bigger thing for me now because of my Doghouse System. DoghouseSystems.com, where you can get a fantastic rig by people who care and get all the backup you need to make sure you've got the right machine for you. PC gaming's never been so good as it is on a Doghouse System. Check them out today at DoghouseSystems.com.
This is Al Gore, and you're listening to The Instance.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 504. It is October 20th, 2017. Hurtling ever closer to BlizzCon. I'm Scott Johnson with Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, so just to be clear, this is the actual Al Gore.
That's a guy who sounds like Al Gore. Unless I've been punked and it's the real Al Gore, but I was told it was someone who sounds like him.
I think it's the real Al Gore. I think it's the real Al Gore playing a trick on you, pretending that he's not actually Al Gore.
Well, let's play it again. Let's see what we get here, okay? So I'm going to play one more time. When you see you guys at home, you put on your detective hats and you tell us if this is the real guy or not.
This is Al Gore, and you're listening to The Instance.
What an inconvenient truth that was.
Listen, I don't really know Al Gore, but I know of him.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's Al Gore.
All right.
But anyway, I'm happy to be here. And so apparently Terpster is still nursing his baby. What a diligent father and a completely inconsistent podcaster he is. And did you see poor Dill's burn?
Yeah, that arm That's burn terrible. Is rough, man. It was some sort of cooking accident or something, but
yeah,
it was that is a gnarly piece of work. And sadly,
yeah. go to Twitter and give good thoughts to Dills, because I mean, he's not in any danger, but it seems like it hurts like a
He's out of immediate danger. I don't know what the prognosis is for scarring or anything, but that thing looks third degree to me, or at least advanced second degree burns. From the photo anyway. So yeah, Willie Dill's on Twitter. Send him your thoughts. Hey, we've got a show here. And I'll tell you what, before we get going, a couple of important things. Now, last week I announced that we did a commemorative 500 episodes plus episode. Commemorative mug was available for people to pick up. And a ton of you have done it. That's awesome. Thank you all. They'll be coming to you soon. They're in production now. However, today is the last day. If you've been putting it off or thought maybe I'll do it later or forgot about it, if you're still interested, today, Friday the 20th of October, is the last day you can place an order for it. I'll be tweeting about it later as well for those who don't get the show right away. But that's over at frogpants.com. Just click on the store. It's one of the first ones there, and you'll see it. It is the 500-episode commemorative mug. Very nice mug. Cool black color with this like matte
Everyone
silver
says it.
Inlay.
It's a very nice mug. Yeah. Everyone says it.
Everyone says it. All sides, many sides say it. They all say it. So you should get that and do it before they're gone. Because seriously, this is it. Today is the final day. We're not.
So what about people who haven't been putting it off and who just don't want to buy the mug? Should they still go and buy it?
Yes, but if they don't want to, if they don't want to, there is zero pressure to do something you don't want to do. If there's anything we can say about the instances, we don't make anyone do anything here, really.
But really, you should go buy the mug.
Yeah, you probably should. Yeah. I mean, look, the show's 12 years old plus 500 episodes. I mean, good Lord. That's a hell of a run.
You do whatever you want. All we're saying is if you don't buy the mug, we'll just love you a little bit less.
Yeah.
That's all.
Where are you going to put your coffee? You going to pour it in some shitty thing you got at the gas station? No. No, you're going to put it in this and you're going to glorify in your own choice. Well done. Anyway, frogpants.com/store. Also, today, we are giving a virtual ticket away on the show. At the very end of the show, right after emails, giving a virtual ticket away. That's your access at home to BlizzCon without being there. What are those, $50, $49, whatever it is? If you're thinking to yourself, man, I can't afford it this year, I don't want to do it, or whatever, you, if you're in our chat room, could be the lucky winner of today's giveaway of a virtual ticket, courtesy of Blizzard. Big thanks to them for sending these. There will be another opportunity on the Core podcast as well as the Exploding Tire podcast as well. So we'll start it here, though. Giving away one today at the end of today's show, a virtual ticket where you can watch. I won't give too many details away, but a live instance thing on Saturday. It's public that it's on the schedule, but we don't know much else to tell you yet, because partly because we don't know and partly because we're not supposed to say, but we don't really know anyway, so it's fine. But yeah, the instance Saturday, something's happening on stage, and you'll get to see that via the virtual ticket or in person if you're there. And if you're there and you don't go, Patrick will hate you forever. So show up and be there. All right?
It's true. I will.
Very excited about that. All right. Oh, so much to say about BlizzCon and all the other crap going on, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Maybe at the end of the show, I'll tell you about some other stuff that's going on. For now, though, there's this. I think maybe, just maybe, my raid team has Kill Jaden on farm. Now, I don't know if 3 Kill Jaden kills is enough to say farm, okay?
Was it 3 weeks in a row?
It was 4 weeks, and the second week we couldn't pull it off, or I don't know why, and the second, the last two were fine. So 3 weeks with a break in the middle that was a kind of a banging our heads against the wall, and who knows why. I don't know what that was for that night. It was dumb. But we did it. He's now to a point where I think we'll just clear him Sunday, no problem. And
I think if you do it 3 weeks in a row, I would say that's fine.
Okay, that's fine. So all right.
Sunday's the test.
Now, here's the fun thing about this about my raid this week, okay? So I raid with these bunch of guys. It's a very friendly raid team. There's nothing in there that's like super hardcore, like pressure, be here or don't, you know, you're fired. Like none of that. No more dots, more dots. No guy like that runs this raid team, okay? So pretty easy going, and you show up and you play and you have fun, you tell jokes, you have a good time. And there's a bunch of podcasters in there. Brian Ibbett's in there. I'm in there. You got, you know, Randy plays with us. Like it's a fun little group. And what was my point with that? My point was, I know what it was. No, I don't know what it was. What was I going to say? I was going to say something about the team.
It's a fun group. You don't have him on farm yet. Have fun.
I know what it is. So I forgot about this.
Great podcast.
Yeah, this is really good so far.
We're professional.
Yeah, and we did clear Heroic Goroth there, the Pit Lord guy. So that's cool. But anyway, the point I was trying to make was oftentimes, my luck is garbage. My RNG is toilet level. It's not good. And that's true of a lot of video games in general. I don't get lucky. In fact, later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about...
You lucked up in life.
Yeah, I did. I did. I got an amazing wife, incredible kids, a job I love, friends I really like. Yeah, I lucked out there.
At the RNG of life, so...
But in RNG of video games, I get zip. So, I don't... You know, I've got my tokens or my whatever they're called. I forget what they're called. The condemned hell token of... monster butthole, whatever they are, whatever those are, the things you buy from the guy near Violet Hold, and then you get to roll twice, whatever they're called this time. Anyway, had those at the handy, they're in the bag there, and once again get to kill Jaden. It was either gloves or boots, I can't remember, but I know I needed them. Third time in there with the kill, double roll gold or artifact power, which as you know is flowing like milk and honey. It's like an uncontrolled artery severing. It's just everywhere is artifact power. I feel like we're breathing it in now in Azeroth. You just walk around and you're breathing in like large amounts of artifact power with little bits of King Varian Wrynn, because he's still floating around a little green. Anyway, I'm sorry, too soon? Okay.
So, a little bit. Let's wait a couple of expansions.
Yeah, sure. Then we'll remember him. Well, whatever. I see him in Heroes of the Storm all the time. He's fine. Turns out he's okay. He's in a different realm right now.
Yeah. So he's out, you know, in the farm with chasing.
Exactly. Dragons. So the point is that because my double rolls have yielded me pretty much nothing, what has turned out to be my RNG in the game or my way of progressing in these raid runs and pursuing the life and death of Kill Jaden is everyone in the team who gets stuff I need who don't need it. So this is how it works every time, and I'm not kidding. It's like, oh, double roll, got freaking gold both times. All right, well, that was great. Thanks for the 3 hours, you know, like that. And then Hunts the Wind or somebody will go, oh, I don't need these gloves. Turns out these are just barely not an upgrade. and they're the ones I was trying to get. So someone always gets what I need, and then I get it from them. So
you're basically hijacking the RNG of other people.
Yeah, I totally am. I'm riding on their luck. It's like they're at the craps table, and they rolled a perfect whatever you do in craps. I don't actually know. What do you do there? You throw dice and you go, woo, I'm on a roll. Okay.
Yeah, like double four.
Yeah, hey, roll way to go.
Double four.
Everyone gather around. There's a whole crowd of people around clapping for the guy. I've seen those movies. I know what's up. So that's like me seeing somebody doing that and then busting in and going, give me those, and pretending like I did it. So it's fine. It's whatever it takes to get my stuff. But I got a couple of sweet new pieces the other night, and it was all because people already had them or had something better.
That could totally be a movie with George Clooney, you know, like you hovering around the craps table and going like, oh, jumping in when someone gets the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what level are you now? What item level are you?
9, 10, 15.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not bad, no. Certainly not anywhere near some of the people on our team, but I'm getting there, you know. And I'm not, you know, I get in, I do things in Argus. I go do my business there, get my work done, do my homework. And I have to admit, Argus, when I first went in there at like 870 or whatever, was rough. It was just hard. Everything was harder, and I would die more, and there was like a lot of pats and stuff with like three people in a patrol, and you know, it got a little hairy sometimes. Not now though. I'm to a point where I'm just blowing stuff up, so that's good.
Use the group tracker, group finder add-on.
Yeah, I use that for. So I use the world quest tracker mod that I use has it built in.
Oh yeah, now it's added it with the latest patch.
Yeah, and it's awesome. You just literally walk into a place and it goes, oh, there's a rare here. Do you want to join a group? And I just click it, and then it joins, and it says, well, who are you? And I say, I'm damaged, and then bam, I'm in a group. It's great. I don't have to go push the eyeball or do any dumb stuff. Like, it's super easy. So when it, isn't it an eyeball, a little dungeon? Sorry,
push the eyeball is like, no one should do it. Don't just, if you're listening to this, listen to Scott. Don't push the eyeball.
Have you ever pushed your eyeball before? I've done it. I pushed my eyeball.
I did it until I got the add-on that pushed it.
No, I mean like your actual eyeball. Have you ever pushed your actual eyeball? Like pushed it in?
What?
Have you ever pushed your actual eyeball in? Have you ever like taken your finger and gone and pushed it a little bit? Have you ever done that?
I understand why you guys don't want healthcare. You don't understand the concept.
All right, let me tell you the time I pushed my eye in, and then this will make sense. I was 14 years old.
I doubt it will.
No, it will. I promise. I was 14 years old. I was wrestling with this big kid named Jimmy on the trampoline. There was just a bunch of kids, and we were all hanging out. And for whatever reason, Jimmy and I were wrestling, and he's a big kid, and he was kicking my butt, and I was a skinny little weenie, and so he beat me pretty good in the wrestling. But also about an hour later, I noticed when I turned my head sharply that a big cloud of darkness would kind of flow over, like almost like clouds or something. It was really weird, and I couldn't figure out what that was. And as the day went on, it got worse and worse. So if I turned my head sharply at all, it just would rush, and it would almost become black and then move off to the side again. And it was really strange. God. Yeah, I know. It was a little freaky, but at the time I thought it was kind of cool because I'm an idiot and I'm 14. I told my mom, I'm like, yeah, this is going on. She goes, oh, we better go get that looked at. They take me.
Oh, I thought she's the one who recommended you push your
apple. They put me in the car, they're taking me to the eye doctor or the hospital or something. And while we're in there, I'm seeing what looks like kind of a black dot in the middle, like a black hole in the middle of my vision that seems to be growing in my left eye. And again, I'm mostly fascinated. I'm not panicking or feeling like I'm blind or anything. I'm just kind of a dumb kid. Now, today I'd totally freak out, but whatever, you're 14, you're invincible, you don't think of these things. So this is happening, and while we're driving, I'm in the front seat, and I have the little mirror flop down in the car on the passenger side where you pull down the flap, and there's a mirror there to do your makeup or whatever. I'm looking at
it. Did you start doing your makeup in the car?
I'm doing this thing where I'm holding my eye open, and I have my other finger right here, and I'm just kind of like hovering around. My mom hits the brakes like a little too hard at some stoplight.
Oh my God.
And my finger goes right into my freaking eye. That's the sound it made. And anyway, it turned out I had a detached retina and they fixed it. It was fine. Everything's fine. I'm good now.
That is anticlimactic. But I was kind of hoping like alien worms or something like that.
No, none of that. Just a finger in the eye by
accident.
Just
a detached retina.
Yeah, but I'll never forget the feeling of a finger in my eye, like the sensation of it being in there. It was really weird.
Well, I guess at least you got something out of it.
That's right. I could tell the grandkids one day, hey, gather.
I will never forget the feeling.
Gather around Papa's. Gather around my feet, children, and let me tell you the tale of what it felt like to have my gnarly finger up to my first knuckle into my eye. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Please end the sentence quickly, because if you just say, I will never forget the feeling of having my finger in my... Please say I really quickly, because it can lead to people imagining things.
You don't want me to cough there at the end and accidentally put off the word I? Okay, I'll do that.
Well, I mean, as long as if we're all adults, it's fine. But
are we though? Might be. Are we? I'm not sure we are. Sometimes I feel like I'm 14 still mentally sometimes. But hey, my eye works. That's good. So anyway, the point is, what was the point? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say stuff. Never mind.
Group finder.
World of
Warcraft
is what we're here to talk about.
I cannot recommend that mod enough, because not only is it helping you track and prioritize your world quests, but you get this added bonus of doing the quest stuff, group questing thing, without having to jump through all the hoops and all the clicks that you normally do for the standard interface. So that is a must have as far as I'm concerned. And I am pretty mod free these days. I don't have I decided this expansion specifically to dump a button manager thing. I don't need it anymore. Like the default interface does what I need. Like what was the one I used before? Domino I used. Before that it was, what was the one everyone uses?
The boss mod?
No, I still use that for raiding. But no, like your buttons.
Domino's. And yeah, there's Domino's is the one I use.
What's the other one? It's like four.
So
square,
you have the standard bartender.
The bartender, there you go. I quit using bartender. I quit using Domino's. I now just straight up use the default interface. And the reason it's fine is because I can assign quick keys to anything. So it doesn't really matter anymore. I don't even have to see the thing I'm pushing Q for. I just know I've assigned Q to a certain thing. Like with my hunter, I feign death with F. Who cares where it's on the bar? It can be up in the corner in one of the, you know, the sidebars, and I never have to look at it again. But as soon as I hit F, I feign death. So I realize, well, why do I jump through hoops every time there's a big patch and I have to wait for them to update the freaking mod and it breaks it, and then I got to wait, and then they fix it, and then I got to go reorganize it. I hate that. And plus, you can't do it on multiple machines very easily. So I've just said, you know what? Where have we made some inroads here on the default interface? And it turns out Blizzard's made plenty. It's kind of totally usable now, and I don't have any problems with it. So rotation stuff, all that stuff, no problem. Just pushing buttons, dude. Piece of cake, easy. Don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I would say the mods are usually pretty well updated. At least Domino's is. But for me, my problem is that I always want to have like every possible ability I have somewhere just in case.
Yeah.
You know, especially with a druid, you have a million of those.
Yeah.
And it's not super easy, but
that's true. And it may, that's a really good point. It would probably vary depending on class. But you know, since Legion came with so many reductions overall, like consolidation of abilities and so on, that it seems like it's better for that sort of thing. And it just feels, I don't know, it just feels cleaner, less bulky, one less thing I have to worry about. But still deadly boss mob, still this world quest tracker is a freaking must, and then that group tracker thing in there is really good. And then there's one other one I started using. Oh, it's one Randy recommended. All the Things, that's what it's called. All the Things.
Really? That's the name?
This is amazing, dude. Here's what you do with this thing. You walk into some zone, doesn't matter where, old content, new content, doesn't matter. And this thing is constantly just displaying for you everything that's possible to get anywhere near the place you're in. So if there's toys there, if there are vendors that are only there for certain things are there, or if this is a place to get a certain achievement, or if this is a place to pick up four of these really rare drops if you kill enough dudes or whatever. Well, like whatever the thing is, and this includes raids and dungeons, it will tell you everything that's possible to get in there. And so for people who are full-on crazy completionist types, where you want to get every ounce of content possible out of this game, from vanilla forward, this thing is a monster. It is crazy that it even exists. So think of it as that. It's like, well, let's see what's on my list. You're like, my name is Earl. You're like, all right, well, we got these four. I want to go kill that dude and get them things I need. Boom, you got a list right there. You know what to do. You know where to go. It's pretty great. So there's that. I've been using that. And that's mostly, I'm not going to use it that much. I'm not interested in that kind of completionism, but it's fascinating little mod that people should check out. It's called All the Things, which is literally all the things. What else? Oh, I finally caved and got that 120K yak, expedition yak out of Pandaria, the one that's way too much money but has a built-in repair slash sell stuff slash cosplay. What's my brain just farted. What's the word I'm looking for? You want to change?
Can't remember which one.
You want to change your clothes. You want to transmog. Oh, transmogrification. Transmog, sorry. Yeah. There's a transmog dude on one side. It looks like a big yak with a bunch of like Asian influenced looking ornamental stuff all over it. You've seen him in town all the time. Anyway, it's been there since Pandaria. But I always said, I ain't spending 100K on that. That's ridiculous. Even if I had the, so you can do, if you did the rep grind at the time, it brought it down to 100K. And up to this point, the closest thing to it was that Tundra mammoth that had a repair and sell and some reagents and stuff, but it didn't have transmog because there was no transmog back then. This thing's like, you know, sort of a replacement for that. It was very, very expensive. And for the longest time, for years, I've been like, I can't afford it. I don't want it. That's dumb. I'll just go to town. I'll talk to an ethereal and he'll make me, you know, he'll change my clothes. He'll help me put my pants on, right? I don't have to worry about it.
But what pushed you over?
I don't know. I think it was peer pressure because after this raid, a bunch of people were like, we're all going to Pandaria. We're gonna kill the Shah of whatever it was, Anger, and see if we can get that rare mount. And then, you know, which takes like three shots now. He's super easy to kill, but he's a world boss over there. And then it's right by the vendor who gives you that yak. Anybody want to buy the yak? And I went, oh, that yak. And then John started talking. I think I'm going to get it. And I'm like, oh, should I get it? And then they talked me into it, basically. So...
So you regret it, though.
No, I don't. Well, I don't know. I bought a $120,000 gold yak. And then now you know what I do with that yak. I ride it. Sure, there's that benefit. But I have a million other mounts, so who cares about riding it? What I bought it for was to put more money into it. Because that's all you do. You repair yourself on it. You sell. Make sure you sell vendor trash, but that's not worth much. You repair yourself, so that costs money. I might need to buy reagents or something from the one dude on the one side. That costs money. And then...
Well, it's not like it's money you wouldn't spend anyway.
That's true. Transmog is going to cost me. I just paid $120K for the convenience. It's like I paid...
How much do you have?
Okay, imagine in my real life, this is like me building a toilet next to my bed so that I only have to move right over. You know what I mean?
I can see the benefit to that.
It's just a stupid convenience and it costs a lot.
How much money do you have, though?
Now I have 300. I have 200 now.
That's okay.
It's okay.
That's okay. Yeah.
Some people I know have no gold. Some people I know have millions. So what are you going to do? But I bought it. It's mine. And I'm not really a professions person. So that's a long held notion here on the show, but I don't really have a great way of making that money back very quickly, but, nonetheless, there it is, 120K, because I didn't have the rep either, so I had to pay the extra 20K. And I just got that Tundra mount not long ago, which was 16. So it's like, why did I even buy that? Why did I stop there? You know what I did? It's like I bought a I bought a Ford Focus and then decided at the end, I'll just get the Ferrari anyway. I shouldn't have bought the Focus. And now the Focus has no resale value. I can't sell that thing. It's mine.
I think you might be worrying a little bit too much about this. just a tad.
Well, don't you get...
You didn't actually buy a Ford Focus and a Ferrari.
Yeah, but don't you get buyer's remorse and wow when you buy a thing that you were like, ugh, that was a lot of gold or whatever? You got to get that way sometimes.
Well, I mean, since Draenor, I haven't had a lot of gold ever. I think I have 100K and I keep it like very close to my heart. And because I know that I might never have as much again because I don't play the auction house anymore and I will not farm anything ever.
Right.
So yeah, no, not really. It's fine.
Yeah.
If you get some enjoyment out of it. And if you're like completely you know, despaired that you bought it, I'm sure you can go bother some poor CS person that certainly has better things to do with their time and go like, I pushed the button by mistake. I don't know what happened. It's like my dog logged into my account and it bought the thing.
Yeah.
And you can get it reimbursed.
It bought the Tundra 6 weeks ago. That's my excuse. Tundra. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I didn't understand where that 100K went. And then I realized my parrot got into my computer.
Yeah. I mean, I screwed up with Garrisons, and the chat room's kind of echoing this too. When Garrisons were part of Warlords, I blew that period because I just didn't like Garrisons. After a while, it felt so grindy and dumb to me, and I quit playing the Garrison, basically. And everyone made so much money on their Garrisons, like tons of it, hand over fist.
Yes, I agree, but I think it's the kind of thing where if you're playing WoW, you know, a couple of hours a day anyway, you don't mind going to do that. But if you're not already very much into the game, I mean, people who made a lot of money with Garrisons were doing it on like 8 alts, doing everything, like every gold quest in the Garrison every day. And that's how you made a lot of money. It's not like, oh, I just need to play the Garrison normally and that will be fine. Yes, you'll make a little bit of money, but the people who were really farming had multiple alts and did it every single day.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I would say you messed up. So
Money, you know, what's a great allegory? Money's not everything, man. You don't, you know, life, you need more. There's more to life. There's more to do than just grinding out money with your alts. And that's true in life as well. Also, Hobbs Dog in the chat says, just farm about 5 raids a week on 2 to 3 characters and you can make close to 1K per raid weekly. Dude, I don't have time for 2 to 3 characters at max level with the gear enough to raid 3 or 4 times a week. I can't.
You know who has time, though?
Who?
It's Sturster.
Hey. Oh, my gosh. What the frick? Look at that.
Sorry. I'm very late. I don't have time, Patrick. I'm busy.
Surely you can set your children down.
That's
the thing. Exactly. That's the thing, is you'll find that a young child, they don't really move much. So you can kind of, you can lay them down. You ain't got to worry. They're not going to roll off anything. It's once they start getting a bit older. So I feel like my youngest is in that golden zone right now where I could put it down and play a game.
Yeah.
But she doesn't like being put down. So really, I got to, you know, hold her, carry her, maybe get like a sling, strap her in, get ready for it. We're going to play some WoW. Mm. But you can never raid with kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just when you got to move out the fire, they've poop their pants. And it's just like, you know,
and you have to weigh up, who
do I care more? Do I care about my character and the other characters of my friends that I'm playing with? Or my, you know, my young infant child who's helpless and relies on me to, you know, clean them up once they've defecated.
Yeah, and it's a tough one.
It's a real tough one. But, you know, you got to worry about the social pressures as well. People are going to judge you for wiping a raid. So, you know, wipe a raid, wipe an ass. You got to make the call.
Well, all right. It's something I wanted to say about that. So this is really funny that you brought this up. The question for people would be, when can I raid with my kids? And I have an answer for you. So you're at the point
where they're 18.
You've got like a 3-year-old and a 0-year-old. And my, what is she now? She just turned 23. My oldest just turned 23. And this weekend, we'll be playing World of Warcraft again for the first time since she was in high school. And is all stoked and got a computer all set up and is going to boost to 100 and do the whole 10 level thing and get in there. And she wants to raid and get all involved in the guild and everything. God. That's how long it takes.
Okay, you got to do this. Okay, when you're leveling, only do invasions. Okay, don't worry about zones. Maybe do
No, it's her first character.
You got to boost her. No, she's got to be... No experience. We need a healer, so you're going to play the healer. Okay. And you have to use a 2-seater mount because she won't have flying yet, okay? And then you just fly around invasions. Yeah. You play for like the kind of 15 minutes it takes to complete an invasion. She'll get a level and a half, and then she logs off. Yeah. And that's it.
There you go.
Okay?
All right.
And that's the true leveling experience today. You don't play the game.
No, you're probably right.
You play it every sort of, I think it's like 18 hours.
Yeah.
for 15 minutes.
By the way, this is the sound you made, by the way, when you came on the show today. I just want everyone to hear this. Okay. I don't know if anyone heard that, but Pat, you just
breaking stealth, was it?
Okay, you rogued in here, and we saw just like a faint outline of you, and then you backstabbed us, and there you are. So it's good to have you.
Whoa, backstab. I heard it.
Whoa. No, I was expecting it because I know the kind of person Terpster is. Exactly. So I knew it was going to happen.
Sure.
Yeah, he saw it coming. Sure.
Well, I'm glad that I assume baby's doing well and all things are good.
Oh, here I am. I'm here. I can move this.
Oh, look, he's got the camera. We're going to
pull. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, look at this, everybody. Hey. Stack him on
down,
baby.
Hey, you look like a father of two.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
Son of a bitch. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Cool. I'll take it. I feel like a father of two.
I'm really stoked for you, obviously, for this baby and everything. But
this is the first time I've been on since the baby.
Yeah.
I feel like she's been here forever.
Yeah.
And never at the same time.
First time since the baby. Yep. You've been on extended paternity leave or however that goes.
Yeah, exactly. So let me talk you through it. So there I am. Okay. I'm in the Emerald Nightmare. Okay. Yeah. It's old content, but I'm soloing it. I'm very epic.
Yeah.
My wife's in heavy labor. And I'm like, you know, I need to concentrate right now. You know, I'm trying to do some serious solo content.
Yeah.
Baby comes out, never finished the raid. And it's
tough God.
But in the process of being on my extended paternity leave, I had 4 weeks off.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, they don't do much. You know, my older child, she did a lot, and we did a lot, and we went out and played a lot, did a lot of baking. But in the times when I was looking after the little one, she's just on the shoulder. And they're playing a bit of WoW. She can't see it, so it's fine. It's age appropriate. Right. She's just looking at a wall.
Sure.
And I now have, I think I've got 7 110s.
Oh my God.
Because it's just ridiculously easy. Again, you just log in, do a invasion, get a level.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah. That sounds boring though for 10 levels.
It's honestly, it's really fun. It's easy. I was just doing it, get class mounts. I just love the new class mounts.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have the next expansion.
Yeah.
I'll have a full complement of characters.
Are you flying also though? You've got
yes,
flying.
Exactly. Flying makes it infinitely easier.
Yeah.
So you're flying from, so if I've leveled a character up from zero, from 98, you can start doing Broken Shore. And so, again, flying around zones and doing it that way is fine. Once you complete a zone, the gear is like picking up a legendary for your level because its item level is 800. Past that, just wearing heirlooms. But it's really expensive if you want to get your heirlooms up to 110-able.
But even then, it sounds like it would be, even if you don't have the heirlooms where you need them, just still it's still going to be the fast way. Now, whether it's the better way.
The fastest way is just to do invasions, but you don't then really learn how to play the class or anything like that. But then again, do you until you cap out? Like, once you start getting the gear, you understand about the rotation and you know, what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And the class campaigns, class order hall campaigns are really good fun.
Yeah. So, her biggest complaint.
You know, each of them have a load of story in there and stuff.
Sure. Her biggest complaint to me was, I want to be a night elf. Can we play together? I said, no, there's no cross faction still in this game other than PvP, or we might see each other in the zone and not fight, but you know, that's it. And she said, oh, well, I love night elves. And I said, well, they're cool. They're all right and all, but if you want to play on our guild and be in our side, you got to go Horde. And it really bummed her out. Like, she was bummed that she had to pick some ugly race.
How does she feel about Blood Elves? I mean, they're like paler.
I told her, I said, Blood Elves are your option. They're elfy, and they're all the elviness that you need. And she says, you know, they're snotty and kind of jerks. I said, yeah, they totally are.
So well,
they're
elves,
in the
though,
Horde,
really.
So.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what she's going to do. She's going to play a Blood Elf, and it's fine.
Okay. What class?
She can't decide between. She loves hunters because that's what she played when she was a kid. But she wants to. She's going to play around with that. And she's
the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
She's thinking about a demon hunter, given the boost in the expansion.
I think,
and all
again,
that.
So demon hunters play like a modern character sort of thing. It plays like a game that came out in the past few years.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Depends what she likes.
Yeah.
I think Demon Hunters are really cool.
She likes range.
Yeah, I agree. I think Demon Hunters are a lot more dynamic than anything we've had in the game.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Plus, if you cast Slowfall on a Demon Hunter and they double jump, they disconnect.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
Yeah. So that's a great way to troll your friends. So maybe play a mage.
Yeah, she's thinking. She's thinking. She just likes ranged is her main thing. And so I said, well, let's look at mages. Let's look at a, you know, a boomkin maybe, or, you know, there's things she could do. So she hasn't decided yet. She's just dabbling. But this weekend she's going all in on whatever
boost is. I would say if I were to recommend, and I don't think you can as a blood elf, but druids are awesome for people who aren't too sure, because each talent tree is so different that you can get a completely different play experience by just, you know, pressing N.
Yeah.
But then it gets a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
Because the thing is you get the, you know, the three, but then you also have the different forms, no matter which tree you're which spec you're in. So, and sure, you can not worry about it, but if you're like me and completely OCD, you might go, oh, but I want to have it available. So sometimes a simpler thing might not be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there you go.
You hear that?
Yeah,
hunters are simple. Well, that's done. What Patrick said. I agree with him.
They are
simple people play them.
Her main thing is she really likes pets, and so maybe I'll push her in the way of a warlock. I don't know.
Hunter pets are fun.
Hunter pets are way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like warlocks, it's having fun by torturing your pets. So it's not exactly the same kind of petting experience.
And yeah, like my destruction one just has like an imp that you don't really see, or in PvP like a succubus.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
But you don't get the reign of imps where you have a million imps and you're
I hate that. That feels like a witch doctor in Diablo or something.
I think you get more out of it. Yeah, again, she likes the nice thing about being a hunter is going flying around and finding and taming cool mobs out in the wild.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really fun experience as well.
Yeah. That's her
thing. It really depends the type of game that she wants to play.
Yeah.
Because if you're not playing with a lot of other people, then some of the more sort of self-sufficient classes out there can be a good call as well. So like hybrid classes that can heal themselves, things like that, often make soloing content that bit easier. But with a hunter, you've got that tank in the form of the pet.
Yeah.
So, it can be good fun.
Horde, Torn, and Trolls all you got, Taylor, if you're listening. So you're stuck to
a druid.
If you do druid, which is, you know, kind of a bummer.
Torns are the best racing round.
Well, they're pretty great, but they're less limited than they used to be. I remember the days when druid was locked into horde and Druid. What, a shaman?
Shaman.
Shaman was locked into Horde, and what was it, Paladin on the Alliance side that you couldn't be on the Horde? Yeah, those were weird days. The Elysium Project, you guys remember that thing? That was a deal. Is it back? It's off. They're done. They said they were carrying on the Nostralis legacy and then got hit with a cease and desist. Blizzard reached out. They had that whole thing. Those guys kind of shat on that, not Blizzard, but them, and decided to go off and do their own thing anyway. The folks behind it have had a bunch of internal controversy back and forth and apparently some drama, and they just released this statement. The Elysium Project as it exists today is no longer a viable project due to systematic problems of lack of oversight of those who are most access to the server. That's a little shade, passive aggressive shade.
Systemic problem.
What'd I say? Oh, systemic, sorry. Due to failures to uphold the project's ideals and integrity, the Elysium Project is being dissolved and relaunched out of the control of those who have abused the trust of the staff, community, and legacy movement as a whole.
But this shows why this sucks. Okay. How many times has Blizzard deleted your account and your character in the past 13 or so years of playing WoW?
Not once.
Okay, so if you played Nostralis, Elysium, and now apparently you're gonna have to go. They're gonna remake it on a third one. And then all of a sudden they fall out, and then that server's gone down. And now we've got to go. You know, this is the way of things.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating to have that in in the classic vanilla realms.
It feels like it's the inevitable thing here. Like this was never going to be this Valhalla end game utopia where I forever had a vanilla thing going, and it was the rest of my life I would only pray at its altar. But no, this is run by a bunch of doorknobs who are fighting, who are having infighting problems.
I didn't realize that was happening, but they explain that basically the problem that they're dressing up a little bit in the beginning is someone stole money, and basically they were doing gold selling somewhere in the project.
Right.
Oh, really?
It seems like there's one or two people who were actual a-holes. Like, that's the kind of thing. Like, all of the members, regardless of whether or not you agree with them, I happen to not agree with their idea, but still, they're donating, quote-unquote, a huge amount of money, not money, but passion, time, skills, excitement, and it's something they believe that they think is a cool thing to do with a cool community. And even if you don't agree with, you know, their relationship with Blizzard, what they're doing, all of that, I don't think they, you know, they don't deserve to have some a-hole go and steal money that was funding the servers and then doing illegal crap on their, that's like the worst. Yeah. It's terrible. So, I mean, yes, it's the risk of running something like this, but at the same time, I hope that they are going to have the oversight they're talking about in the next project, because that just, that sucks. It's something, someone wrecking all of their hard work, and it's just, yeah.
Do you think third, nice. I mean, do you think third time's the charm, or is this, I mean, I don't
who know. Who knows? I think it will never get as big as they dream it would be, because of all the reasons we've talked about for, you know, like, four times we've detailed all of this. So let's not talk about it again, about the issues it would create with Blizzard and why Blizzard doesn't want to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't really think third time's going to be the charm, but I would hope that kind of thing, like people stealing their money, would not happen again.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It would be nice if it didn't happen again. But
yeah.
I think the problem with these sorts of projects is, you know, that's the reality of a lot of the type of people that are going to work on them.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get some people in there who aren't there for the passion. They're there to exploit an informal structure with not enough oversight where they can get away with stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, well, sad.
I heard here's the response from Mike Morheim, everybody. This just in. Let me play it for you real quick. All right. He laughed.
There you go.
That was funny.
What a year it's been for esports. Yeah.
What a year it's been. Yeah. DeepMind, I mean, StarCraft. Yeah.
On this specifically, there apparently a lot of people are going away. Leadership is understandably demotivated. So it's possibly the end of that thing.
Right. Right, right, right. Well, we'll see what happens.
I can't wait till they start doing Cataclysm, you know, servers. And it's just like, yeah, I want to play WoW when it was at its worst.
Yeah.
Good
that's stuff.
What I want. That's the game I want.
Nah, people are too
hard on.
And
there must be others out there like me.
People are too hard on Cataclysm. Cataclysm was great. There was nothing wrong. I mean, it had its problems, but come on. It was all right. It was an okay expansion.
I just like it. You know, I just like it. I just want to play it. You know, I just want to play that.
You
want to
get back in there?
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
That point in time? I want to stay in Pandaria and never leave. Is that okay? Is that a cool thing to want?
I think that's where, you know, that's where I'll go when they do shut the servers down.
Mm.
I'll take my main over. Just go back to the ranch. Just down to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
See that dog, which I think you can get in Dalaran now, but hopefully the dog's still there.
Yeah.
And I'll sit down and I'll click that annoying daily quest and be like, okay, I'm gonna plant some scallions. All right, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think when it's like 2049 and we're all like replicants hunting Blade Runners and stuff, and Blizzard finally decides to shut down World of Warcraft, we'll that's the place everyone will.
That's where I'll go. Sure. Yeah. Heck yeah. And it'll be some VR thing that someone's got on a chip and that's small enough to keep in your pocket by then. So looking forward to it.
Oh, great. Nice.
Real quick, just some plans for the instance thing of BlizzCon. I mentioned that earlier at the top of the thing. There are no real details really to give you any content ideas because we don't actually know everything yet. But the time is still Saturday. It's still at, what was it, 11:15 in the morning? I forget, local time. Anyway, it's on the BlizzCon site. You guys can go see it there. There is an instance Frog Pants A-Move meetup thing on Thursday. It's part of the Calm Before the Storm business. And at that, I'll also be moderating a 7-person panel on Heroes. That night, you're all invited to go to that Google Con Before the Storm for details in terms of location and everything for that. And if you find me, I'm not looking to get mobbed or anything, okay? But I have stickers for the Instance, the Exploding Tire, and for Core. So Heroes, Overwatch, and World of Warcraft show-related stickers. They're exclusive to the show. I'm not going to have that many, but if you would like some, I will bring those with me and be handing those out. So look for my big, dumb, ugly face at the event.
I can't wait till it comes out. Stickers are slang for drugs, and Scott's, you know, peddling drugs all over BlizzCon.
Yeah, stickers.
I don't agree with it, sir.
Quote unquote.
If you want some stickers, then you let me know.
I got some money. I got some dank stickers, as we'd say on the street. So check that out. We're excited about it. I think that's all I had to say about that. All right. Oh, and Terpster, real quick. I just need your opinion. You weren't here for this bit. I bought the Expedition Yak finally years later.
Oh, okay. Good. Amazing.
Worth it? Totally worth it?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, every time you get a new piece of gear, you can transmog it. I like it because the same thing with the Mammoth is basically like having infinite bag space when it comes to vendor trash. You know, you never have to worry about filling up your bags as long as you can mount up.
Yeah.
Because all you do is just mount up, sell all the crap, carry on.
Yeah.
So I use it all the time when I go do your old raid content. You get a load of gear. Some of it, you know, gets added to your transmog library. And then once it's done, you just sell it all. And you keep going. All right. So, yeah, fantastic.
And this these many years later, I don't feel like such a – you don't have to feel like a total dick for spending that kind of
– It's – no, exactly. The only downside of it is it doesn't fly. You know, and that's the thing. Like the same with the Tundra Mammoth. You know, they're both ground mounts. Right. But with how Blizzard now designs their games, you'll be using that for the first half of every expansion forever. So it's still good. I think they're timeless in terms of their value. Whereas, you know, when you buy pretty much anything else in WoW, you end up regretting it an expansion later.
Yeah, it's a good point. And also, it's worth mentioning that the Kil'jaeden encounter is this sort of outdoor on top of the world thing where you can mount up. And so it's a great place to bang your head against the wall, wipe raid about 10 times, and still pull out your mount. And
you can repair, exactly, yeah. I like that. Or you can think like, guys, I know what's holding us back. I need a new outfit.
You would be surprised. Like, there are people on my team who literally did that last week who were like,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hang on, I might try the Molten Core Tier 1 set. I think maybe actually, if we did the one where we defeated Archimonde back in Hyjal. Yeah, let's wear those stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think anybody ever goes, this is just a dumb side question, but do you think anyone ever goes back to do old content just to get the blurry gear from the early days? Like they just got to have the blurry
definitely.
Shit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I get everything I can. You know, I'll go back and I do every raid I can to get stuff for options that I'll never choose.
Yeah.
I'm terrible with most of the old raids as well. When you're looking at Lich King onwards, you know, you can farm them and hope that you'll get a mount out of it. So you always feel like, okay, it's worth going back. I might get the mount this time.
Yeah.
But you're always rewarded with something off a run. And a run normally nets you a couple of hundred gold as well. Sure. So it's nice to start paying off that yak.
You would probably enjoy the All the Things mod I talked about with Patrick earlier. I think you would that would fit your lifestyle pretty well.
Yeah. Give me stuff to do.
Let's talk about a few things happening in and around Blizzard. Looks like Junkrat is out for Heroes. It doesn't just look like it. I played a ton of it, and he's awesome. He's a really good implementation there. Currently my favorite new hero. He's really, really great. And just feels awesome. They captured it in a huge way. So, grats to that team. If you like Junkrat and you already liked him in Overwatch, you're going to really like him in Heroes of the Storm. Also, let's talk about this loot box business. It hasn't really been circling around Blizzard so much, although I think it's like this elephant in the room that I think Blizzard's the impetus or the kind of spark that sent the industry chasing it.
No.
I think you're
absolutely not.
Why you explain how Blizzard? Okay, hold on, Patrick. I want Patrick to explain to me how it wasn't Blizzard who popularized this. I know they weren't the first. I'm not saying that, but they made loot boxes a viable business strategy for the rest of the industry. Do you not agree?
I do not agree.
All right.
What made loot boxes a viable business for the rest of the industry is mobile. Because that's where people have been making, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of dollars a day with a game that cost $200,000 to develop because of these loot boxes. Right. So people are now looking at loot boxes companies are looking at loot boxes as a way to support the game over the long run. And it's created this huge, this big controversy in the gaming world, which would take I don't know, 50 minutes to cover properly. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's Blizzard. Blizzard has implemented I think, pretty well their games.
I agree.
In a way that gamers aren't really uncomfortable with, because in Overwatch, you pay for the game, but then the loot boxes are cosmetic. But, you know, you had CSGO who did it, like, way before, and it's cosmetic as well, but then you can sell them to someone else, and like you can give them to someone else, so there are marketplaces where you can sell and buy them. And so Valve, if anyone has implemented
Valve have been always the one to find the new business models, you know, and they've done it across Steam and their titles. You know, TF2 was one of the first big games to get keys, so you would get the loot crate for free in the game. Yeah. You want to crack that bad boy open, you got to go and buy a key. You know, people made that whole thing more seamless and less friction in there, and just buy the loot box.
Yeah.
Blizzard have, you know, not received huge backlash for loot boxes versus something like Shadow of War, which has been the big kind of conversation starter around it recently. Shadow of War was a very expensive game. It's a very premium title. It's a very cinematic title, but it's, what's different from a lot of other games is it's predominantly a single player experience. You know, there are some multiplayer aspects to it and there's some online elements to it, but predominantly it's offline single player content. And yet then there is the opportunity, if you want to buy premium loot crates.
Right.
You don't have to. A lot of people created a lot of stink before the game came out saying like, oh, you have to. You don't. You can play through and get the true ending without that. It's just one of those things where it's quicker to get loot boxes and, you know, spend money.
Well, Patrick, you just beat that game, right? Like, you just finished it. And tell us your experience there. How'd that go? Like, with the loot box?
Yeah, so I have extensive experience with two of the games that are into that, you know, loot box controversy.
Did you get the true ending, though?
No, I didn't. Because that's just dumb. Because that's dumb.
But that's what people complain about.
So Destiny is one where loot boxes, I can assure you, have no... they are there, but they're, like, completely unimportant. And to kind of explain to you, it's kind of gems in WoW. Mm. Kind of. And you can get any gem you want by playing the game. Like, the important aspect, the level... increase of the quote-unquote gem you can get anyway, and if you want like a specific one for damage type, you might, but even those are randomized if you buy loot boxes, so honestly you will never need them. In Shadow of War, it's, people talk about it without really understanding what it is. Shadow of War is really two games. It's the first three acts are the real quote-unquote game, and the fourth act is called Shadow Wars, and it's kind of at that point that people say you need the loot boxes, and that it's at that point that you might want to buy them to speed things up. But the thing is, the first three acts represent the base game, and it would have been better if they had just called that fourth act a different mode and unlocked it once you had finished the first three acts, because that fourth mode is essentially an attempt from the development team to give you something to do when you are done with the game. Like, it's an almost infinite replayability in player versus environment, single player, for this game. And so it's not the same as the base game. It's not like the following. And yes, there's a true ending at the end, but it's like, it's almost 20 hours of content that you have to slug through to do it. Just go watch it on YouTube if you...
Exactly, it's like a 60-second thing that basically... says, yeah, we ain't making another one of these.
kind of.
It's like, oh yeah, fair
but
enough.
But the thing is, it's in this mode, there's the real problem is not that you can speed it up by buying loot boxes. The real problem is that it's not a very well designed mode. It's not a lot of fun. Like, the impetus for you to keep playing is grindy and uninteresting. As much as the entire game is fun, like, they could have just opened up the game and left you to do anything you want, and that would have been better than what they actually did, which is basically put up a huge difficult challenge for like 12 stages, where in order to meet that challenge, you have to, like, putting that goal in that way makes it less enjoyable than just playing the game without a goal, which is ironic. But so I think it's really an issue in game design, and not something that the evil marketers implemented in order for you to buy loot boxes. Again, I really think they're unimportant. You can buy loot boxes to get some followers, but they're still probably not going to be the ones that you're looking for. You still have to level them up, and that's really tedious. And so in those cases that I know, I think loot boxes are not the real issue. However, that's not to say that loot boxes aren't an issue as a whole, because there is an element of kind of gambling, trying to get people to buy more of the stuff, and you don't know what you're going to get. I understand that part. At the same time, and I don't want to sound like a loot box apologist, because I'm not, but there's so much negative reaction around them, I do feel like I need to offer the positive aspect. What loot boxes provide in an ideal environment is that they provide content for everyone,
right,
regardless of whether or not you've bought the loot boxes. Because if you just sell characters or stuff like nominally, they just don't make enough money with it to provide content for everyone. But that's where I think Blizzard has done the thing really well with Overwatch. It's that the loot boxes, not only are they just cosmetic and you don't really need to get them if you're playing a lot, you're going to get a lot of loot boxes, but also anyone who doesn't get loot boxes, who doesn't want to buy them, or who doesn't have the money for them, will get the new characters and maps and modes no matter what. So,
and through playing the game, they can unlock the same quality of loot box for free. Yeah. And that's important. We've only recently seen with Twitch Prime, where they've started giving us legendary guaranteed loot boxes and stuff like that. And that's an interesting sort of mechanic, almost like, how much would you pay for a guaranteed experience? And probably they'd never sell it, but what a fantastic promotional tool as well. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, go over here, do this thing that we've had with our commercial partner, and we're going to give you a reward in game.
Yeah.
If we had that in WoW, okay, so suddenly, you know, it's the last patch of the expansion, we're all good, and they say, okay, we're going to give you legendary tokens that will give you, you identify a random legendary for your class and spec. You know, something that they have in the game, but maybe if you, you know, sign up to Twitch Prime, you get yourself a free legendary. How would we feel as players from that game, where that then impacts the gameplay? You know, that's really weird.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's the thing. That's why I think Blizzard has skirted this pretty well. They've decided that cosmetics are their main focus, and people really dig those for lots of reasons. One of them being that they make killer skins. They make killer stuff for all their games where they do this, or the two games in particular, Overwatch and Heroes. I love those implementations, especially in Heroes.
Have you ever done the loot boxes that are currently in WoW? Because
no.
If you do the Broken Shore,
yeah,
there's a demon after you complete a quest line that you trap in a loot cave underground,
right, yeah,
with a goblin. And for 1,000 nether shards, you can buy a key. And then you can open a crate, and there's lots of crates in there. And some of those crates may have only 100 nether shards. Oh, you lost. You can get up to, I think it's something like 500,000.
Oh, right. Nether shards. Yeah, they did this there. They did this in the Pandaria thing too. The what was it called? The Isle of whatever it was.
Famous Isle.
Yeah, they had.
Oh,
that,
yeah, it's
like
not
that.
The same though.
No, I know,
yeah,
but I remember a thing where I had keys, yeah, and I could open it. There was a room full of boxes, and I had to choose which ones I wanted.
So this one, you could keep spending and gambling and spinning the wheel, and it is gambling. But it's not.
Yeah, but it's only it's with,
because it's pretend money and it's fine.
It's pretend money, yeah, and it's also stuff that, you know, you can only then get stuff that you can get with nether shards, which is not, you can't get everything in the game. And of course, WoW is a different beast, because you pay your monthly. They have managed, you know, to have the best version of all of these things.
Guaranteed.
Everyone pays, you know, $50 every month.
Every month. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't that be the dream?
So. Oh, gosh.
What, all of your players are spending $15 a month on loot boxes? This is crazy. Yeah, how'd you do it? Oh, we just make it so you have to, otherwise you can't play.
Well,
genius.
This conversation is a good reminder that so much of this is philosophical. Like, what is money? Where have we spent it? Who owns the game? Do we even own WoW? We really don't. We're paying to rent it. Like,
exactly.
So
once
many
they turn
things.
It off, it's gone.
Yeah. So many things
you could
do.
Our time, though, as well. And that's always the argument that we come back with, you know, with stuff like character boosts and all the rest. Like, at the moment, if you want to boost the character, don't buy a character boost. What you do is you buy the battle chest of World of Warcraft, and then you buy the Legion expansion, and every one of those you attach to your account, you get an account-wide boost.
Yeah.
So you can still, on your main account, boost a character to 100, but that is cheaper than buying a 100 boost on your main account. You know, it's more steps, you're generating more accounts and more work for Blizzard. But because of that, and equally, then they'll do a sell where all of a sudden, oh yeah, we're going to sell the battle chest. It's now $5 and Legion is $10. And you're like, $15 for 100 level 100 characters. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's normally like $60.
Yeah.
You know, but it's you know, it's all about time, how much you care. For some people, the fuss of having to go around to do that, they'll be like, yeah, I'm just going to click the button. They go, yep, there you go, $60.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get it.
That being said, I will agree that loot boxes is a slippery slope. I would rather we didn't have them. But it's kind of like we need to figure it out as an industry. It's kind of like DLC 5 years ago. DLC was like, oh, you're selling me a thing that's already on the disc, but you're selling me as a separate. And you know, as years went by, developers and publishers and the public understood what was acceptable and what wasn't. And today, DLC is kind of cool because you get games that are fully featured games most of the time. And DLC is a way for people who love the game and want more to pay a little bit more for that, you know, to the developer. And those who don't want that extra bit, and they don't care about it and they don't pay for it. So DLC, we kind of figured out. Mm. Loot boxes, we're still in that icky phase because you're still like, with some of those games, you're like, well, but did you really tune the game a little bit more difficult so that I would have to go to it? And like, when you affect gameplay, it's difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
The positive here is that, you know, we look at the negative. So Diablo 3 doesn't have loot crates or anything like that. Is a dying game. You know, literally, there's nothing coming out of BlizzCon. You know, they've released a character this year. We're going to get another character next year. When are we going to get more stuff for that game or a new game? StarCraft 2, you know, they've got the war chest thing now, but StarCraft 2, it's not going to be long before StarCraft or, you know, StarCraft 2 goes free to play or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be, you know, there's nothing happening in that game. You know, there's nothing new because there's not revenue coming through. Whereas Hearthstone, you know, we should hopefully get a new expansion announcement at BlizzCon. You know, WoW, we're 14 years in or whatever, we're still getting stuff. Overwatch, we're getting new stuff all the time because there's so much money just continually pouring through. And that motivates a development team to, and facilitates a development team to continue developing for it. You know, Blizzard is a huge company with a lot of money and they pour a lot of that back into their games. But they're also a publicly traded company that I don't think can turn around and say like, okay, well, how many new people have bought Diablo 3 this past quarter? Oh, no one. Okay, well, Hannah, how much have we spent building new stuff for that? Oh, yeah, loads. So would you say our efforts to get more players involved is not working? Oh, we're just trying to look after the ones who have already given us our money and aren't ever going to give us any more money. You know, it's you know, loot boxes and microtransactions and stuff like that facilitate fans to get more of what they want.
Yeah.
And it is...
And games sad, and games as services. It's games as services is a thing. They all want to do it. They want games to not just be a one-off, $59, see you later. It's no longer, because that's the other thing, is inflation.
How much would you pay Blizzard as a Blizzard subscription to be able to have access to their games in full without having to worry about loot boxes and stuff like that?
Oh,
would
man.
Would you pay like $30 a month, and then if you stopped, you lose all of those extras and you go back to the base game? Like, is there a Blizzard subscription cost that you would feel happy getting WoW, getting heroes and everything, you know?
All the heroes?
Yeah.
All the heroes?
Yeah.
Like,
all the heroes, yeah.
What
about Overwatch, though? Do you get all the legendary skins?
Maybe get the skins as well.
Yeah.
And the thing is equally, I don't know. I've played Heroes on an account with everything unlocked, and I dinged, and I got a crate, and I realized, oh, well...
Big deal.
Crap.
Yeah, who cares about crates?
I don't care anymore.
Oh, look, And so it changes how these games are. But, like, I don't know. Could, you know, Blizzard is one of the few companies that could do that, where they could turn around and say, okay, pay us enough money. We know what we expect from a user. Like for me, I average out over the year probably like, I don't know,
$15,000.
Yeah, probably $50 to $60 a month. I'm probably spending that in packs and mm-hmm. other stuff and mm-hmm. services and things like that.
For work. For
work. But yeah, I'm buying a game basically off Blizzard every month. And so if you were to look at that, I don't buy other computer games. You know, I get those free. But you know, so I spend my dollar, my personal money goes to Blizzard.
Yeah.
Would there be a space in Blizzard to turn around and maybe say, okay, we're going to do a Valve and we're going to test a whole new way of monetizing an audience?
I would pay.
We're going to say, we're a publisher, pay us this much and you get everything.
I have the perfect answer for this. I would pay $30 a month or whatever the number's in that range someplace. And in the Heroes case, you don't have to, because I actually think loot boxes in Heroes 2.0 is a boon to the gameplay of the game. It actually is more of a game thing. It's not a secondary monetary thing for me. It's a, I've leveled, I've earned a thing. It's progression for me. So what they would do is just say, the new Heroes, if you're on subscription, you get the new hero every time a new one comes out every 3 or 4 weeks whenever we get a new hero. So new Junkrat's yours. It's because you're on subscription. So subscription people get new heroes, but loot boxes stay as a extended way to get mounts and skins and shards and, you know, like all the things they already do there. That way you keep that relevant as a gameplay standard.
And you keep it open as a revenue stream as well for those whales who want to put more money into that.
Yep.
Like in Hearthstone, you get all the cards, but obviously no goldens.
Yeah.
So if you want to get golden cards, then maybe that's what you craft. And equally, if I cancel my subscription, any of my additional, you know, subscription unlock stuff just should go away. And I go back to a free account.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, I think that could be really fun.
It gets really murky, especially with Hearthstone, where you get all the cards anyway. It feels weird. And also, I will say, $30, you guys are insane. That would be way too expensive. I mean, for you guys, maybe. But yeah. Even me, I'm like, whoa, I'm not sure.
But it's only 15.
I only play Blizzard games.
Yeah, it's only 15.
Like, sure. No, yeah. I agree.
And people still get it the other way. People still get it the other way, but it's only 15 on top of your current 15 you're paying for WoW alone.
Yeah, it's like an annual pass. Or some mobile games do, like, you buy currency, but for $5 a month, we'll give you 100 of that currency every day.
Okay. Let's ask the chat room right now.
Yeah.
There's about over 100 people in the chat room.
100,000
people. That's insane. Yeah. Would you guys pay $30 for a Blizzard pass that gives you everything? I'm pretty certain people will say no, even amongst those hardcore people.
Say yes. We've got super hardcore Blizzard fans.
Well, let's see. Let's see.
Yeah.
But overall on loot boxes, I think there is a right way of doing it. And you have to look at each game individually, but there is a right way to do it, and there is certainly a wrong way of doing it.
Right. Yeah, I agree, and I'm not sure that they'll ever do this, but I do think there's a path, there's a possibility here. And I remember Sony, was it Sony SOE did this for a while? They did or SEO, whatever they were called.
I think it's a lot of no's.
There are a lot of no's in there, some maybes. Yeah, a lot of no's. That's interesting. I mean, maybe the price point is what they're saying no to. Maybe they have some wiggle room.
You pay $10 for Netflix. WoW is a relic of the past. WoW came out in 2004. You can't take it as a metric for, you know, we already pay $15, so what's another $15? It's not the way the world works today.
Yeah, for Blizzard stuff, though, I'm spending, let's say $19.99.
I would say, $10 without WoW, $20 with WoW, maybe.
Okay. But, no, that's fair. I think that's a good number. Sure.
I'm just saying, you know, Blizzard, you can use that. I own no claim over that fantastic business model. All I ask is that, you know, the next statue you make looks coincidentally very much like me. So that's fine.
Okay.
I think for the business model.
Is that me on a wolf? What? That's crazy.
But I think if they did that, somehow Bluehole would manage to find something to say about how they're stealing their ideas.
Yeah. Bluehole. Freaking that whole thing. All right. Well, enough of that. Hey, Diablo Season 12 starts soon. North America, you get it on Thursday, November 9th. It's 1700 hours PDT. In Europe, you guys get it on the 9th at 1700 hours CEST. What?
So I want to say something about Diablo. At BlizzCon, there's something that just came out which intrigued me.
Ooh.
But I actually had a thought that someone said I would pay 15. I think 15 is the sweet spot. 15 gives you WoW as well. And that guarantees you will always forever be playing WoW, paying for the expansions, which is what they're really looking at now, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't include the expansions. Maybe it should. But, I mean, 15 might be 15 or 17, something like that. Like, just a little bit above WoW, and it includes WoW. Because the big worry is that people stop paying for, you know, people play WoW and then they stop. If you get them to pay 15, they will never stop. You would pay all year long.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay, that's a fair point. What were you going to say about Diablo? I haven't heard anything about anything coming out.
There's this content.
Yeah, there's this thing where they just had a message, you know, it's not a big year for Diablo, but we're still going to have an exclusive experience at the Diablo, you know, play stations
mm-hmm.
at BlizzCon. And they don't describe what it is. It's like, oh, you go to Tristram and you see what happens in something behind a cart and you do something. And it feels like some kind of custom level or something like that. And I doubt they would build something in the game just for BlizzCon.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're not going to release or announce a new small feature, a small thing, lowering our expectations with that, oh, it's not a big year for Diablo, and releasing a little something that they implement a version of to play at BlizzCon.
What if it's an exclusive boss that you all fight only at BlizzCon, and its name is Rob Pardo, and you just have to kill it and get some loot out of there? And the loot that comes out is a bonfire. You can start a bonfire anytime you want.
I think that's it.
I think he should just drop 10 cents. 10 cents. Sorry. that's good. I don't know. It could just be like a greater rift with some weirder fixes on it or something like that. And it feels like, hey, if you like Diablo, you know, come here and play this. Who knows? I worry about getting hyped when they've been very much throughout the whole time being like, well, please, just please. All we ask you is just please don't get hyped.
Yeah.
Okay. There's going to be like a tiny, tiny, tiny thing there. It's just for fans. I'm a huge fan. Oh, man, I can't wait. What's the thing? What's the
new
tiny
feature?
Thing?
Yeah. Yeah. New exactly, feature. Yeah. There's a new feature in Diablo. Yeah. They're going to be selling mini expansions with like new content.
Exactly. We're just going to call it Diablo 4. We're going to bundle them all together. It's a tiny little thing, so we're not going to talk much more about it. Yeah, wouldn't that be sweet?
That's amazing. Well, we'll see what happens. Who knows? But if you're excited about Season 12, I guess you got that coming. I mean, I'm...
Powerman79 says Diablo on Switch.
Oh, geez. All right, I'm in.
That
could work, actually.
I want everything on Diablo. I want everything on Switch, so...
Yeah. I mean, you can do the console one.
No, it's everything. Nice. It's everything. It has everything you'd need. It would run it just fine. There's no reason why Diablo 3 couldn't be... in my bed, in my lap, being played right now.
Ooh, Diablo 3 in my bed.
Hubba, hubba. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, Town Crier time. This is where we answer your emails. We got one today. It came to theinstance@gmail.com. That is theinstance@gmail.com. Tyler writes, hey there, Instance. Just wandering through the settings of battle.net and noticed a beta tab. This is a little old news now, but to my surprise, upon downloading and browsing the recent patch notes, a build launched on 10/5/2017 came with the infamous Appear Offline mode. As a much-anticipated and controversial feature, I was excited to see it finally arise and thought I would share the find. Thank you so much for all the things and the time, Tyler. So, Patrick, I don't know if you remember this, but you and I, very specifically a few weeks ago, talked about how we thought we'd never see that, and it was just this old relic thing that people have been arguing about for years, and Blizzard promised back in like 2011 or something and never did anything about. And now you can, at least in the beta, I don't know if it's across the board. Oh, no. Actually, the new Overwatch patch has it built into the game. You can appear offline in Blizzard games now.
I think Overwatch pushed for it.
Yeah.
I think something must have changed because it wasn't happening forever. And then... it is now happening. I don't know.
Overwatch is a good, that's a good theory.
As we discussed in Pixels, I think what happened is that they listened to episode 500 of the show and they were like, oh crap, that feature, dude,
I forgot
to push the button. We have it ready.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's done.
Deploy. Somebody hit enter. You forgot to hit enter.
Yeah. He hasn't been online.
Red alert.
Oh, he's just just up. He's appearing up line. Yeah. I get it now.
Yeah. They had to wait for Metzen to leave or something. Like, we can make up a good story here, but
I bet it, I bet Metzen was the one holding it back. He's like, no. No, you gotta own your geek.
Yeah.
Okay, geek is this game during your working hours.
Yeah, and they're like,
and it's
Chris
like,
is
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, Chris, I get it, but I don't want to lose my job.
Well, the thing is,
not on my watch.
I would not be surprised if Overwatch wasn't the force behind it. I think that's actually a decent theory, given all the recent talk from Kaplan and others about them dealing with toxicity in that game. There's a very good chance that part of that conversation was, you know what, you guys, we should finally just implement this and let people be offline. They don't want to get hounded.
It was something even more simple in that the new games could do it really easy, and then the old games were struggling. And
good point.
Like
hadn't thought of that.
One of the games would have been coded in a way that was like, oh, this is a real. And now they've just got around it, so it's just taking time.
Entirely possible. Sure.
So there's one thing we need now. And I hope that we can talk about it in episode 1000, so they finally get around to doing it.
All right.
And that's getting regions to merge.
Well, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be nice.
That's a dream.
So I did a fireside gathering this past week. So I did it through the app. I set a location. People came along, and it was amazing because I thought it'd just be people who knew me, through social media and stuff would come along. And I had people who just, I play Hearthstone, and it's like, I saw one in Bristol. I was like, oh, yes, I can't wait. And then I had these three Asian guys coming over. They played on North American Realms.
Yeah.
They could see my tavern and play on my tavern, but they couldn't play with me. And I just thought, like, well, why is that? How come you can see? So my tavern is global. So if you come to the location where I set it up during that, anyone in the world can play at my tavern.
Wow.
But you can only play with people from your region in said tavern. It was
so
weird micro parallel universe stuff going on.
Yeah,
I think that would be an awesome, amazing announcement at BlizzCon if they said that
global
is
taverns.
Possible to do now.
Oh, yeah.
The global everything, global BattleNet.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to 2005. Jeez. <Yeah. laughs>
They have been very slow to do this. So
I mean, you think about it, because with merged realms in Warcraft, we've already kind of answered the question about, but what if who about the GURP? What if my character's GURP and your character's GURP and we're both, it's just like, you're GURP Earthen Ring US.
Yeah.
This is GURP such and such, EU.
Sure.
You can have the same name. You have the follow-up number. You can have a million.
I'm just saying within WoW, like, we don't have numbers. We have,
Not in WoW, but
Well, I mean, that's the legacy, right? So this new, I'm starting to even more so think that you're right about the, where this may have come with the fact that we're talking about a much newer game with Overwatch. But if they could just unify that whole thing, because they're trying to do that anyway. They want us all using BattleNet. They're adding all these features to it and social stuff and
that,
the phone.
That Destiny 2 feature was a big thing. I thought, wow, came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, that new Destiny.
Play this whole game, exactly. Yeah, whole, like, good job.
Well, for only $59, you can have that feature.
Not
next week, in fact. But anyway, so Tyler, we're glad it's there. I think that's I like the feature. I want to be able to sometimes just go in and be on my own in Blizzard's world.
I too play during the working hours, Scott. I would like to not have all my friends who are attached to this during their working hours know about my... I'm meant to lead by example.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I can't be doing that.
Really
what
good
really
point.
Bums me out is that now I won't know that you're playing Hearthstone as we're doing the show terms.
Exactly.
I'm
full concentration mode today.
Well,
but so, yeah, today. But now we see people who are on mobile. And I wonder, if you're invisible on desktop, does that mean you don't appear even if you're logged in on mobile? Maybe that's the case.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. Just do it on desktop. Set yourself to invisible on desktop, and we'll see if you disappear for me. Even though you've been on mobile.
This, because I can totally, yeah.
So this is again great podcasting. We're testing live. We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
I could do a screen share.
I don't. I'm in the wrong computer for this.
Sure, I can show my password before I do.
Yeah. yeah. Let's see what you got there. Put that up.
Wait. Terpster has been away for 3 days?
No.
You haven't played WoW for three... You haven't played games for 3 days?
He's got some secret realm bullcrap.
No, I was playing on Thursday. When's Thursday? That was yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You disappeared.
Oh, you're gone.
Oh, no, you're online. You're online. No, no, no.
Hang on. Hang on.
Okay. You're online. All right. You're online.
Yeah, yeah.
Set yourself to invisible.
Hang on.
This really is dumb. I'm opening mine. Oh, I forgot to have it on my Mac.
You're back to mobile.
That's fine. Yeah, because it's updated on this PC I'm on. This is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're seeing that you're away for 3 days on mobile. Still, so it looks like you haven't,
okay.
So maybe the mobile version you have to, but it's okay, it's fine. You're still like, it doesn't show that you've been playing, it just shows you're logged in your mobile app just like you always are. And it looks like, you know, you're not playing.
Well,
right
okay,
now.
But here I just found the problem. It says here Terpster, aka Mark Turpin, has been offline for 6 months. Well, that's your American account,
yeah,
so. Unify this shite so that I can see where you've really been. Like, I don't have any idea. Like, that looks like you've quit Blizzard, but you haven't.
Or
obviously.
At the very least, have it so that we can switch from one region to the other on the Battle.net app with one click.
Yeah.
Like, at the very, very least, that would be the minimum.
I agree. Yeah. I completely agree. All right. Well, there's that.
No, you can't, can you? You have to go into the...
No, but just... No, you have to log off and then log back in.
Is it only in the beta, by the way, that this is true, or can you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. No, you have to. Yeah, it's beta only. So I'm now for the third time loading it up. But luckily, I mean, this is the best thing. It's just having the one touch login on the two step.
Oh, it's the best. Why isn't every? By the way, why
offline or not?
Why isn't? Hold on.
Now, hang on. Right, I'm loading up the beta app now, Pat. This is the whole thing, right? I'm in beta, right? I can now go appear offline. I've appeared offline in beta. Yeah. I'm still logged in on my mobile.
Oh, you have disappeared.
Yeah. See?
Look at that.
Offline. Right. That's how it's supposed to work. So, but
you're
hold on.
Entire areas offline. On my mobile thing. It's saying still connect. Oh no, here we go. And it says I'm appearing offline.
Why can't Why can't every mobile authenticator? That's an iPhone. Hold on a second.
No, this is a Pixel.
Oh, okay. Sorry, the top looked like an iPhone.
You see there?
The reason I was saying that is because I thought you'd switch back.
You're appearing offline.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So my point is, why can't everybody have as rad an authenticator? I want all my two-step authentication to be that easy. It is so great.
So Google's doing it now. So my email does it now. So it just...
I mean, I have two-factor, but the app's not as cool. It doesn't do what the Blizzard one does. It doesn't like pop up and let me approve it like in the home screen thing, the way that the Blizzard one does. Or am I just stupid? I might be stupid.
You might be stupid.
Yeah, I'm probably stupid. I'll look at it later. Anyway, well done, Blizzard. You have a nice authenticator is what we're trying to say. I still have, I should give them away. I still have some old dongles, you know, the old StarCraft.
Oh, yeah.
Those are worth a fortune. You should absolutely make someone happy.
Let's get on eBay and make some cash. All right. I promised that by the end of the show, I would be giving away a virtual ticket for some lucky person in the chat room, and I am going to keep to my word.
Oh, sorry. I already used the code.
Oh, shoot.
Sorry.
Well,
I saw it.
Did you?
Yeah. You didn't, you liar. There's no way you did.
That'd be brilliant.
So
that'd
I'm going to I want to do that real quick. We're going to use this as our background music. Okay. So who wants it is the question, and who am I going to give it to is the bigger question. I'm going to randomly pick one of you from those folks in here, and I think I'm going to give it to... Well, I need somebody who doesn't already have it. That would be nice to know.
Wait, is your randomly choosing, is you actually choosing someone?
Yeah, I'm just going to write, I'm going to close my eyes.
Random, I like this guy.
I'm going to pick, let's see. I'm going to pick randomly, close my eyes, I'm going to right click. Okay, so here goes. Oh, okay, the name I picked is, it looks like Hobbs Dog. I'm sending you a whisper right now. That will be the code. Do not share that with anyone else. Keep that to your freaking self. And use that. Congratulations. You're done. You're good. And also, later, there'll be more on other shows. If you didn't get one today, check out The Core on next Tuesday. Check out next Thursday's Exploding Tire. I will have more codes to give away. But congratulations! You can now watch some of us on stage Saturday doing we don't know what yet. And a whole lot more. Including the concert and all that stuff. Oh, who cares about Muse? I was going to ask you two if you guys like Muse or not, because I could not care less about the band.
I mean, I'm gutted. I'm truly gutted to not be there.
Really?
Partly, obviously, because I missed the live show.
Yeah.
But for Muse, like Muse, I saw. You know, they played in Bristol when they were kind of up and coming. I love Muse.
Yeah. So you're a big Muse fan. I have zero connection to Muse. I just don't have any reason to care about that. Patrick, do you like Muse?
I think we're too old. I really don't care about Muse either.
I don't know if it's an age thing.
Sorry. I feel bad because there were so many people excited on Twitter going, oh my God, Muse is on.
Yeah.
They're a great band live, or at least they were.
Yeah. I've heard that too. I mean, I've liked every band they've had. Even recent years.
No, Weird Al was terrible.
Oh, people loved him. Weird Al. Really? People loved that, I heard.
Terrible.
Really?
Terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see it.
I couldn't. It was just,
I was busy doing something else. Yeah. If I'm honest.
I like how Scott loved every single one there's been.
I mean, I like who they are.
Actually, I wasn't there for that one.
No. I don't mean I love the performances.
The best thing you can do at BlizzCon is don't go to the concert.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go play games.
You can have fun.
That's what I'm saying.
You can watch the concert on the virtual ticket and you miss out on not being up against sweaty people and having your eardrums bled out.
Completely 100%
agree. Grumpy old man. I mean, get off my lawn.
That's me.
Yeah, basically concerts for losers.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, some people love it. My kids love it. My wife loves it going. I don't care. I want to play games and hang out with people, so I'm not interested in any of them.
We're so nerdy.
But I do like. I guess what I was saying is I've liked all the other bands. Just Muse, it does nothing for me. So even offline, not at the con, I'm not listening to Muse for no reason. Anyway, there's that. Don't hate me. Love me. That's it. We're done. That's the show. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Theinstance.net is the website you should go to. And before we go, Patrick, anything cool happening on Pixels or anything you want people to know about before we go? Oh, tell them about your new gig over there at the Icy Veins deal. What's that about? Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. So I have a new gig at Icy Veins doing podcasts. We do it's pretty cool. We do a, like, super... short, compact show. It's about 30 minutes, like more 40 something. But yeah, about 30 minutes where we cover the most important things from every Blizzard game that they cover over there at Icy Veins. And it's pretty fun. It's the second episode we just did. It's shaping up to be a really good little show.
At Icy Veins, they know what they're talking about. So why are you there? That makes no sense.
gotcha right where it hurts.
I'm there. Well, actually, it's kind of true. I'm just there because I produce a podcast, so that's my role. I just ask questions.
And that you do know what you're doing,
yeah,
sir. Okay.
Thank you.
Well done.
And yeah, so we had Stan, who's a major news writer there, Lorinda, who's a Hearthstone expert on the last couple of episodes. Just go check it out, Icy Veins. You already go there for all of your guides anyway.
Yeah.
So go check out the news and the podcast. And Overwatchers, of course, if you like Overwatch, just check out Overwatchers. I do with Chris Chanman V and Pixels. You know that show. It's about actual old video games, not just Blizzard ones.
Yeah.
So
once in a while, I like
that. It's cut last time.
Yeah, I love being on there. It's great. You guys should check it out if you like general video game stuff. And I'm sure you'll have plenty to say about that Shadow of War business, which I cannot bring myself to get or spend money on.
Oh, it's awesome.
I want
you,
to.
You know, I'm still sore. You talked about Battle Chasers and made me dream. And I really wanted
Battle Chasers is great. And, it's so
cool.
Go
check that out.
Shadow War on Xbox, and I also can play it on my PC because it's Games for Windows joined thing, so they share a save.
Oh, nice.
So I've been playing it in work on my computer, go home, play it on my big TV and stuff.
Yeah.
Genuinely, you know, fantastic experience, and it's great to see consoles, you know, starting to bridge the cross-platform gap, even if it's, you know, their own platform, I guess.
Yeah.
Have you finished it?
Yeah.
You guys are nuts.
It's so good.
I mean, I guess if I got it and cranked it as fast as I can, I would. But I've got Origins and Mario on the mind, and I'm waiting for those. I got to just do that. So
I mean, and we didn't even. Oh, Destiny is coming out in 4 days on PC, and so for Battle.net, just very quickly, the very super summarized version of my final review. It is incredible for about 80 hours, and then you kind of run out of stuff to do.
Yeah.
But if you think you want to play it for 2 years nonstop, it's probably not the game for you.
Not yet.
Not yet. It might change. But if you want an awesome multiplayer co-op FPS for a good long time, you can buy it blind. I loved it.
All right.
Yeah, it's not an MMO, but it is like every MMO that's come to market where the experience is fantastic up until you kind of finish.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah. These games aren't endless.
It's like the Truman Show. You hit a wall and go, oh, that's the sky. I've hit the end there.
But the sky shows up like not when you finish the campaign. You still play and chase that number, you know, that level for a good like twice as long as you did for the campaign. And after that, you're like, all right, I've done, you know, I can't really progress anymore. And that's a design flaw on their part. But it's still a fantastic shooter until then. And yeah, Shadow of War as well. I mean, so many games.
Yeah, there's a lot
and
of games.
And you have Mario coming, as you said.
Yeah.
Like in 7 days, we have Mario Odyssey coming.
I know. I can't wait. I can't freaking wait.
It's pretty good.
I know.
Let's ask people randomly, like in the ether out, like, what do you think, Terpser? Like, if someone had played it, how do you think they would react to someone asking, how's the game, in theory?
I would imagine that people who love Mario and love everything about what happens when Nintendo decides to do a proper Mario game would be themselves surprised how good a game like that could be.
Yeah.
But I don't know, personally.
Yeah.
But do you think it would appeal to people who love like Mario World?
What I would say is that
2D like linear.
Would you believe in a year? Hang on, when did Zelda come out? Was it this year or last year?
It was this year.
No,
March.
This year.
It's March.
Yeah, exactly. So would you believe that in a year in which Breath of the Wild came out, at the end of a year, a game could come out that made you think that there could be a new game of the year in that same year that Zelda came
out. Wow. I'm so excited.
I mean, obviously this is theoretical.
Theoretical, obviously. That's the thing. And that's the thing. I would love to. Exactly. Yeah. I would just say.
But this is exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of those things where people used to think of the Switch as a Zelda machine. And to be honest with you, like it still kind of is when you're playing it now. You go to buy a game and then you realize Zelda's on there and you start playing Zelda.
I know what I'm doing on the airplane next in a week and a half. I can't wait.
My only sadness is that I have like 15 hours of flight. What is it like? Even more, and the Switch only lasts for 3.
No, so I've got one of the cell phone battery chargers. Because I've got a Pixel is USB-C anyway. But I got a USB-C one and it charges it super fast. And yeah, honestly, that's ridiculous. I get like 2 charges extra on my Switch from that battery.
Like a 10,000 milliamp hour?
It's like a 21 or something like that. But yeah,
oh, wow.
It's an anchor one. Yeah, and it just, that's all you need. Charge it up before you go and that'll last you.
Yeah,
get
over there to the Amazon.fr or wherever the hell you guys go in France and get that thing
or the Amazon.near. I don't know. One of those.
Get that. All right, that's going to do it for the show. I want to give a quick shout out to somebody, a listener of the show, many shows on the network. Dennis B had unexpected back surgery, and he's a big listener of the show. And I heard about his plight, and he reached out and said thanks for the shows, and I want to reach out to him and say thanks for listening, and we hope you're feeling better, man. So let us know how it goes. That's Dennis B. That's going to do it. Instance show, the_T, not Patrick on Twitter. Oh, what else? There's more, right? I can't think of anything else. Is there anything else? No. There's more shows like this at frogpants.com.
We love you.
Yeah, and we love you all. You guys are all amazing. A few of you.
I love everyone and anyone.
Really? Wow.
I'm not picky.
All right. It's like your sexual preferences. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back with one more lead up to BlizzCon show before the big show. And we'll see you guys all then. Thanks for listening. Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bones.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.